Next Monday, the people of Michigan will go to the polls to vote in the biennial spring elections. In the townships, supervisors and other local officials will be chosen. In many cities, municipal elections will take place and special issues will be decided. Here in Kalamazoo County, no special issues are to be submitted to the voters at this election, not even anything about parking meters. Nevertheless, it is an important election. First of all, there are a number of state officials to be elected. The two which are most hotly contested between the two major parties are Superintendent of Public Instruction and State Highway Commissioner. The reason for the special interest in these two offices is the fact that both these officials are members of the State Administrative Board. The Republicans now have a 5-3 majority on that board. If the Democrats were to elect their candidates for these two offices this spring, the majority would be the other way, 5-3 Democratic. Both the Republican incumbents are running for re-election, Charles Ziegler and Lee Thurston. This will be Mr. Thurston's first campaign for office, however, since he was appointed by ex-Governor Ziegler to fill the vacancy caused by the resignation of Mr. Elliott from the office during his regular term. The Democratic candidates are E. Burr Sherwood for Superintendent of Public Instruction and John H. McCarthy for Highway Commissioner. Other state officials to be elected are two regents of the university, two members of the State Board of Agriculture, which runs Michigan State College, and one member of the State Board of Education, the body that controls the state's four teachers' colleges. All the incumbents are Republicans, but the Democrats are waging a lively campaign for these, as well as the other two offices. Some particular interest to Kalamazoo comes from the candidacy of a local citizen, Mr. Alfred B. Conable, for the office of one of the posts as regent of the university. On a nonpartisan ballot will be four candidates for Justice of the Supreme Court. Although nominated at party conventions, they run on a nonpartisan ballot, and their party affiliations are not indicated. The incumbents running for re-election as justices of the state Supreme Court are George E. Bushnell of Detroit and Edward M. Sharp of Bay City. The fact that they are incumbents will be noted on the ballot. I have a sample ballot here before me, and I notice that under both the names of these gentlemen is the caption, Justice of the Supreme Court. Both of these gentlemen were nominated by the State Democratic Convention. The Republicans nominated Arthur E. Moore and Charles W. Rigney. And another candidate, Morton A. Eden, is a third-party nominee. Well, here in Kalamazoo County, the liveliest contest is for the election to the office of probate judge. The present probate judge, formerly county prosecutor, is Robert M. Barber. Mr. Barber was appointed to the office of probate judge last September to fill a vacancy caused by the resignation of Judge Raymond Fox. Opposing Judge Barber is Donald Anderson. These two had the highest number of votes in a field of four candidates in the February primary election. Partisanship is not involved in this election, since the probate judges are nominated and elected on a nonpartisan ballot. Circuit Judge Raymond Fox is unopposed for election as circuit judge to fill the unexpired term of the late Judge Weimer. Well, those are the offices to be filled and the candidates at next Monday's election. I have invited County Clerk Anthony Stamm, who also is chairman of the County Election Board, to be with me here tonight to explain some of the election machinery to our listeners. Well, Mr. Stamm, we might begin by asking you how many precincts there are in Kalamazoo, the city, and the county.
There are 69 precincts in Kalamazoo County, with 32 of them in the city of Kalamazoo and 37 in the out-county area.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty close balance, isn't it?
That's right.
How many election officials are required at each polling place?
It all depends, Dr. Dunbar, on the number of ballots that are being voted on. At this election, the city will be using about three people at each of the precincts, while out in the township, they'll be using four or five individuals because of the township elections, giving them an extra ballot to take care of.
You mean in an election where there are a lot of offices and a lot of issues to be voted on, like the last November, for instance, there are more election officials?
That's right.
Well, now, how are these election officials chosen, Mr. Stamm?
Well, usually the township clerk selects the election board workers with the approval of the township board, or in the case of city election boards, they're selected by the city clerk with the approval of the governing body of the city, and they are selected on a nonpartisan basis.
I suppose if you want to serve as an election official, why, you just contact those people and state your desire, and I suppose your application then would be considered.
That's right.
Well, now, what compensation do these election officials receive, Mr. Stan?
Well, the pay varies in Kalamazoo County. The city, I understand, is planning to pay $15 to each worker, while in some townships, the schedule runs from about $7 a day to some townships that pay them by the hour.
Well, now, that involves how many hours of work? They start about 7 in the morning, is it?
Well, they usually get down about 6:30 in the morning so that they can get the polls ready and get the booth set up and get their election supplies unpacked and get their registration books out. And I would say they work until every ballot is accounted for.
That's sometimes quite late at night.
Yeah, usually it's into the next day.
Well, now, are they responsible for getting the election place set up? That is, the voting booth in place and the flag displayed and the fire built and so forth?
That's right. And they tidy up the place to make it look like an election precinct.
I see. On the nonpartisan ballots, Mr. Stamm, I notice in this one for the present election, we've got 5 justices of the Supreme Court and 2 candidates for the office of judge of probate. I'd like to ask you a question that people often are curious about. How do you decide the order of the names on those ballots?
Well, the names originally are put in alphabetical order, and after that they're rotated by the printer so that each candidate's name appears at the top of the list an equal number of times. They move the top man down to the bottom, and if on election day you look at your ballot and also look on at the ballot of the man just ahead of you, you'll see that they've rotated the name. Your top man may be on the bottom of the ballot of the man that's voting just behind you.
You mean they're rotated for each polling place?
That's right.
Is that so? That must involve a great deal of work for the printer.
That's right. The printer's put in a lot of time, and it's very exacting work because the law requires that it be done that way.
Well, is there some advantage to being at the top of the ballot?
Yeah, some folks, when they're in doubt, they figure that the top man's the man for the job.
Well, now, how is the official tally made and reported?
Each election precinct tallies the votes after the polls are closed and makes 2 statements of the tally, which is filed with the county clerk and with the judge of probate. The next morning at 11 o'clock, following the election, the county canvassing board meets in my office, and a tabulation is made from each of these precincts. These figures are compared with the statement filed with the judge of probate, and then the totals are certified and filed with the Secretary of State and also filed in my office.
Well, now, who makes up the county canvassing board? Is that quite a large body?
There's three people that are elected by the Board of Supervisors and the county clerk.
Mm-hmm. How many ballots were cast in the last biennial spring election here in Kalamazoo County, Mr. Stamm?
Well, at the last biennial spring election, Eugene Elliott polled 8,127 votes in this county, and he led both tickets in that election. So it'd be safe to say that approximately 8,127 people voted.
That's a much smaller number than vote in the November elections, as a rule, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's way down.
Well, now, there is a provision in the state election laws for a gatekeeper, I believe. Can you tell me what the job of a gatekeeper entails?
That's an interesting question because we people in the city of Kalamazoo do not get an opportunity to see a gatekeeper functioning.
We don't have any gates, huh?
But out in the townships, if you visit some of our township precincts on election day, you'll find that the gatekeeper still serves a useful task and allowing the voter to enter the voting booth. He more or less regulates the traffic.
Sort of a traffic policeman, huh?
That's right, to the booth and out of the booth, so that you don't find 2 people voting in 1 election booth.
Well, is there a gate that he actually lets them in?
There's actually a gate in some of these township precincts that he presides over and very carefully opens and closes as he lets the voter in.
Well, now, could you tell us what it costs to conduct a biennial spring election in the city of Kalamazoo, Mr. Sam?
Well, the cost per vote runs from about 25 cents to a dollar, depending on the number of citizens who take the time to vote. Doesn't seem fair to base the cost on the number of voters. It seems that it would be more just to base the cost on the people that stay away from the polls on election day, because they're the ones that make the election costly. The election board and the election commission must anticipate the needs of the election precinct, and a sure way to keep down the cost is to have every eligible voter voting on election day, because you more or less have to anticipate your need on the basis of the number of registered voters within the precinct, and not on the number of people that actually vote there.
I see. So it wouldn't cost the city very much more if everybody voted instead of having 15, 20, 25% vote.
That's right. I figured up the cost per vote in the biennial election of 2 years ago, and the cost figured approximately 62 cents per vote. But of course, the citizen was voting for possibly a dozen candidates. So if you distributed that 62 cents amongst 12 candidates, well, it would only come to about 5 cents an individual.
Well, that means then that every time you put a cross on the ballot, it costs about a nickel. Isn't that about what it adds up to?
That's about right.
Well, that's very interesting. Mr. Stamm, will any minor parties be represented on the ballot this spring?
Yes, there will be two minor parties on the spring ballot, the Progressive Party and the Prohibition Party. Has a complete ticket on this spring's ballot, and of course they've earned that right because they polled over 2% of the total vote cast in last November's election.
Well, now, do candidates have to file an accounting of their campaign expenses in the spring election?
Yes, there's a state law that requires every political organization and community group that enters politics to file a statement of their campaign expenses and also a statement showing the source of their financial support in the office of the county clerk 10 days following the election.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what are the hours between which the polls are open?
The polls are open from 7 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock in the evening.
That's universal all over the county?
That's true all over the county and all over the state of Michigan.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Stamm, for this very interesting and important information. And I hope that all of our listeners who have heard you, as well as a great many others, will turn out and vote at next Monday's election.